You know, it's something since we got started late tonight, haven't had a chance to get into. It is Chris Thomas tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And real quick, want to remind you that Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live college football coverage in Atlanta. This Saturday at 8 a.m., we get the day started with college football game time, brought to you by Window Nation. Visit WindowNation.com and by Alumni Hall. Shop UGA, Bama, Tennessee, and more. It's where fans shop. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Abe Gordon, and Garrett Chapman will set the stage for all the big matchups. Then at 11:30, we have Ohio State taking on Illinois. That's all this Saturday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Oren, the Hawks played last night.
They did, sir.
And a lot of Hawks played last night. If you
18,
looked,
to be exact.
If you looked at the box score,
if
I was.
You
like,
were on the Hawks training camp roster. You played in the game last night.
You get minutes. Yes or no, Oren Romaine? The Hawks will finish with a top five record in the Eastern Conference this season.
Yes.
I believe so as well. I'm not scared of Orlando.
Don't be scared of Orlando.
I'm not scared of Orlando.
You scared of New York?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm scared of Cleveland, I guess, because you have to be.
They're pretty much returning everybody.
Yeah,
they had last year.
They're pretty much a complete.
And that core is.
Yeah, that core is young and athletic.
Yeah, you got a hell of a front court there with Jared Allen and, yeah.
Mobley and
the defensive player of the year, Mr. Mobley.
Pacers and Bucks, I'm gonna say no.
There's no Halliburton this year, so I don't know. And they lost Miles Turner. That was a big part of what they
who
were
went,
last year.
Ironically,
to Milwaukee. Yeah.
You see that rumor, by the way, about Giannis that the other team they were considering was the Knicks?
The
wow.
Sucky part is though, Mikal Bridges took up so much of what they wanted to do from a trade standpoint, what they gave up for him.
They gave him like 6 first-round picks or something like that?
I don't know what they would have been able to give to Milwaukee. Like, I get there was a conversation. I don't know how far that conversation went when Milwaukee counters with, all right, give us multiple first-round picks. Oh, you don't have those. Well,
yeah. Well, how about Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart? You know, you'd basically be swapping your entire team.
Give us your
Giannis.
Core, and we'll give
we'll
you Giannis.
Give you Giannis, which basically makes you the Bucks.
Useless.
And the Bucks, which is exactly what they are
useless.
Right now. So I'm not surprised that didn't go down. Are there any other teams in the East? I'm looking right now. I mean, 76ers are broken. Detroit,
yes. Detroit's an up-and-coming team. I don't know. They're young and hungry. Cade Cunningham took a huge step forward last year.
He's a legit star.
As a star player. And then Jaden Ivey's great on that team, too. Like, they have a lot of really good role players. I saw Thompson is great on that team, too. So it's just they have one of those teams that has a lot of length, just like the Hawks does. And, they were – you know, streaky last year, but they caught fire at the end of the season and then stuck in the playoffs and, you know.
It's actually insane if you look at the three divisions, the Atlantic, the Central, and the Southeast, how top-heavy each one of those divisions are.
It's going to be a lot of discrepancy in the haves and the have-nots in the Eastern Conference this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's two teams that are going to be relevant in the Atlantic. There's two teams that are going to be relevant in the Central. And there's maybe 3 if you count Miami teams that'll be relevant in the Southeast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much what you're
–
so the Hawks are right there. That's what I'm saying. To bring the conversation full circle, the Hawks are going to be right there. I've been really bullish on the Hawks, man. I love what they did in the offseason.
You got a lot – this is the ideal team to build around a guy like Trae Young. You have length – that can defend very well, and then you have surrounded him with a boatload of shooters, guys who can hit threes. So Trae doesn't have to be, you know, Trae can be a facilitator, and Trae is a great passer, a great facilitator, so we'll get to see a lot more. Like, he had 8 assists in 18 minutes last night, and I know it's preseason, but 8 assists in 18 minutes is really, really good.
Yeah, and
that's really good.
He has the fluidity now is the word I'll use to be more deferential is another word I'll use on the basketball court. Because there's guys that are going to be around him at all times that he's never had before. Guys that he can trust to make a freaking shot consistently
and he's already,
around him.
He's already been on the record to say that the first couple days that he practiced along with Porzingis and Nikhil, all those guys, he talked about how, yeah, I know where they wanted the ball. I know where the spots are. And those guys in turn have said that there's a comfort level already with Trey because he knows where to get us the basketball where we can score.
How about Nair with about 15 points last night?
I was telling Mike and Carl today, I know what he can do on the defensive end, but sort of like Dyson Daniels, we don't know how good he is offensively. I think he takes a huge, huge step offensively this year, and you start to see a guy who 14, maybe 15-point-a-game guy, and that wasn't what he was in Minnesota because you didn't need him to be that in Minnesota, but the opportunity for the shots are going to be here for him. As long as he has the confidence to take those shots, then by all means, they're going to be available for him.
I think a lot of people forget Dyson Daniels raised his scoring average by 10.5 points this year.
He talked about how on Dukes and Bell, I don't know if you remember this, when he would take shots in New Orleans and he would miss, he was scared that he was going to get pulled, so he stopped shooting after a while. And you're in a place in Atlanta now where Quinn is going to tell you, if you don't shoot, I'm going to pull you from a game. So that confidence to have that green light where you can go out there and you can take a shot and not have to worry about anything in regards to it. By the way, you know who we haven't even talked about yet?
Who's that?
Zachary Richesse.
Yeah, that's right.
We haven't mentioned him at all.
There's a chance he comes off the bench, I think.
Number one pick who can also be a lockdown perimeter defender and showed last year that he is a capable outside shooter. So it's a guy who, if he got bigger and stronger in the offseason, good
things can
be expected from him,
too. Yeah, I saw a picture of him. It looks like he's filled out a little bit. You think they go the same backcourt as last year, and then they go Richesse, Okongwu, Porzingis, or do they go Okongwu at the five, Porzingis off the bench, Richesse? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
I think Porzingis might sort of float. I think there'd be kind of a half and half. You'll see starters minutes and you'll see reserves minutes just because you want to preserve him for the long run for this season. Like, you not going to win a championship in October playing Kristaps Porzingis 40 minutes a game or 35 minutes a game. But as the season goes on, you'd like to see him have more of those 30, 32-minute games if necessary. So you might see him kind of float in and out the lineup. I think him and I think Nikhil are going to be the two guys that you see sort of go. They're interchangeable in terms of starters and bench players.
It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you until 10 o'clock. Let's do a little switcheroo here. Oh, let's move – five true and false to next segment. Since we're on basketball, because I did want to get to this, and I was going to lead off next segment with it, but since we're now on a basketball tangent, I don't know if you care. The LeBron James thing to me, oh, it really bothered me.
It was a little like...
It really bothered me. It felt like the most cheap, sellout, like, just ruse that LeBron has done in his career, and I'm a big LeBron guy. Like, I am – the way I look at LeBron is, like, he's the guy that I got to grow up, watch, dominate the league. And, like, I take pride in that. I was somebody who was born in the early 90s. So by the time I reached my formative sports fan years, Jordan was a wizard. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see – I mean, I was alive, but I didn't digest
see those Bulls years.
Those Bulls years. So LeBron is my guy. Like, LeBron is the guy. And, like, if I was born a couple of years earlier, it probably would have been Kobe. But with the time that I was born, it synced up perfectly with LeBron's career. So I take pride in saying that I'm a LeBron guy. Like, I watched him dominate the league for 20 years, win all those championships. That's my guy for my generation. And I thought this was, it's a blemish to me. Like, this is so stupid.
It wasn't great. It was, it just, the first time he did the decision, it wasn't very well received. It was a guy who, to be honest with you, seemed a bit narcissistic. That he could make, he could do something like this and everyone would pay attention. Now, granted, there was good that came out of it.
It was a charity.
Yeah, it was a charity for Boys and Girls Clubs. They were able to get a bunch of computers based on all the money that they raised from this event, which is awesome. But at the same time, it's at the expense of – it was a very, very big PR blunder. And I don't know if this was an attempt – well, no, I do know. It was an attempt to sort of play on that and make fun of himself. But at the same time, LeBron, you're in year 23 now, 40, 41 years old, and we know that the end is soon coming. This decision, just the anticipation around it, it raised the ticket prices for that Lakers final home game this year 3 and 4 times what the original amount was. So you had tickets that were $700, $800 just to get into the building, just to get into crypto to watch LeBron play that final game of the season before the announcement was made about it being a Hennessy ad.
And this thing, like the original decision, is a defining legacy moment for LeBron's career. When you think back at the arc of LeBron's career, the decision is right smack in the middle of it. The decision 2.0 is a freaking commercial. Like, it to me, that's why it's such a blemish. It's such a misstep. This really aggravated me because it's just like, dude, you have everything in the world, anything that money could ever buy. Why in the world do you need another ad campaign, especially attached with something that's a defining, iconic moment of your career?
And we were talking to Carl about that, too. Oh, by the way, that thing's going to sell out. You won't be able to find that bottle anywhere in a store. So LeBron is one of those.
Hey, no, it'll be on a resale market for $500.
Easily. So it's just, I don't know. I wasn't a fan of it. It just, I don't know what I was expecting. I didn't think it was going to be.
I thought it was going to be an ad tied into an announcement.
I didn't think it was going to be something along the lines of a retirement, just because I know how poorly it went the first time when he did this. So just think, LeBron, you can't afford to do that again and have it be that bad again. But at the same time, you did it, and it did turn out to be just, no, not as bad as the first time, but still pretty bad.
LeBron has had just a few missteps in his career. Just a few. And none of them are to the tune of anything we've seen from thousands of other athletes who actually get in real trouble. LeBron's just had a couple of missteps with PR. That's it. So,
yeah, for the most part, he's come into the league, and which is crazy because you could argue there probably has not been an athlete that has come into a sport with the amount of hype before they played their first professional event and then also managed to live up to a good bit or exceed those expectations that they came into whatever league with. Like, While staying out of trouble at the same time, too. So you keep your nose clean, and you managed to win championships, and you know, you had the hype for him has never sort of it's never subdued or it's never dropped. If anything, the hype has just steadily increased more and more and more, which is a testament to his what he's done on the court, his work ethic, and then also to, like you said, the fact that he stayed relatively out of trouble.
I didn't like it, LeBron. A rare X black mark from me. 404-726-0929. We'll get to 5 Falcons true false next, as we got into a little bit of an NBA conversation there. Hawks, I'm excited, man. I think they got a real shot. And then LeBron James, just an L. Just take the L, LeBron, on this one. Coming up next, 5 Falcons true false questions on Chris Thomas tonight on 92.9 The Game.